Good evening. I'm Kevin Baird with a KUAC News Minor update. Interior Alaska could see its first blast of winter weather today, according to the National Weather Service. A winter weather advisory is in effect from 6 p.m. today to 6 p.m. Tuesday. Total snowfall could be from 2 to 5 inches in valley locations and up to 8 inches in areas above 1,500 feet in the hills northeast of Fairbanks. Snow is expected to turn to rain later in the day and tonight at lower elevations. Visibility may be reduced at times, and roadways are likely to be slick Tuesday morning. A controversial ballot initiative intended to protect salmon habitat has cleared a major hurdle, setting up what could be an intense political fight. A judge in Anchorage today ruled that Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott was wrong to deny the initiative organized by the nonprofit Stand for Salmon. Mallott rejected the ballot measure last month, arguing it would tie the state's hands and prioritize salmon habitat over other potential uses of state land, like mining or oil development. The state says if it's enacted, the measure could complicate efforts to build projects ranging from pipelines to the proposed Pebble Mine. The initiative also drew opposition from a wide range of industry groups. At a hearing last week, the attorney defending the ballot initiative argued it wasn't aimed at prohibiting development, though it would add to the permitting process. Judge Mark Ridner agreed. He wrote, "It's, quote, pure speculation, unquote, to predict the impact of the initiative." Mike Wood, one of the ballot measure's organizers, applauded the decision.
"I think the ruling that the judge had was awesome. You know, set politics aside and read it for what it is, and I think he did that."
Wood, a commercial fisherman, was involved in opposition to the Susitna Dam. Marliana Hall is executive director of the Resource Development Council, one of the groups opposed to the ballot initiative. Hall says she's disappointed, and her group is asking the state to appeal.
"Unfortunately, this initiative, as it is, poses a grave threat to community and resource development. It puts economic activities highly at risk."
Stand for Salmon can now begin collecting signatures. It aims to get the initiative on the ballot in 2018. Lawyers with the state say they're evaluating whether to appeal the decision to the Alaska Supreme Court. The Stees Highway and Johansson Expressway intersection could get a huge upgrade. The Alaska Department of Transportation is teaming up with the Alaska Division of the Federal Highway Administration to begin the early stages of engineering and planning upgrades to the intersection. According to the project analysis, the Stees and Johansson highways are central transportation paths for the Fairbanks area. The area of road is also used frequently by freight haulers entering Fairbanks from the Stees and Elliott highways. The analysis shows that the intersection is home to lengthy traffic stops during peak travel hours due to a number of factors, including lane organization, size of roads, and light configuration. The intersection has a lengthy history of accidents, some of which have included serious injuries and fatalities. The Department of Transportation and Federal Highway Group are hosting an open house from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Thursday at the Event Center and Lounge at 1288 Sadler Way. Those involved with the project and planning process will be available to answer questions and provide information on the preliminary purpose and need and project goals. The two organizations are also accepting public comments on the project through November 13th. Those can be emailed to the project manager at lauren.little@alaska.gov. Today is Indigenous Peoples Day, the first since Governor Bill Walker signed legislation this summer making it an official state holiday. The University of Alaska Fairbanks is holding an event from 4 to 9 p.m. today highlighting Alaska Native cultures. UAF Vice Chancellor of Rural Community and Native Education, Yvonne Peter, says it rose out of support from across the university community.
"We had a groundswell of student government organizations, formal resolutions from UAS and UAF student bodies, and then later the Staff Alliance and the Faculty Alliance submitting letters to President Johnson encouraging the recognition within the UA system. And President Johnson did sign a memo saying we're going to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day in alignment with what came out of the state government."
Today's Indigenous Peoples Day celebration at UAF began this afternoon with a blessing at Troth Yetta Park, followed by a full agenda of events at the Wood Center.
"We'll have a faculty and Native student organization student panel on the topic of what is Indigenous Peoples Day? Why are we celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day? We'll have some local Dena Athabascan elders sharing a little bit about this land and this place and the context of where we're at on Troth Yetta Hill in particular, but in the interior. A screening of a Northern Lights film that substantively is rooted in Inupiaq perspectives. There'll be finger foods and some traditional foods around 6 p.m. And then we'll also have native arts and crafts tables, as well as get to learn some about the indigenous studies programs we have here at UAF.
Peter says the evening program features native dancing and singing, comments from community leaders, and UAF professors speaking in three Alaska Native languages. He says the university is a neutral venue for Indigenous Peoples Day celebration because it brings together peoples from across the state. For more on tonight's stories and others, go to newsminer.com or kuac.org. I'm Kevin Baird.